Inglesia.
Manhattan.
Ajan këta shumë edhe, we call good.
Super.
Okay.
Covid këtu se ekziston.
Po. Mikrofonat e gravo Covid.
All right, you ready?
Po do kemi na e qyll, bro. How we looking, bro?
Good.
Yeah.
Food is out of the camera.
Perfect. All right.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Question Waiver Podcast. Please don't forget to follow us on Instagram at @_QBPC. Also goes 5 stars on all your favorite podcast platforms. Follow us on YouTube and everywhere. We got a very special guest with us here today. We have an Albanian music legend in the building. We, of course, all the Albanians are meeting in New York instead of back home, but it's fine. We got kicked out. Now we're here.
That's right.
So we got Fatur Mansula, who is one of the best guitar players, best Albanian guitar players, one of the best in Eastern Europe in general, in the building. Say what's up, bro.
What's up, y'all? What's up, everybody?
What's going on? So Fatan, first of all, you know, we always like to start to let the people know why you're important. You know what I mean?
Why I'm important.
Exactly. So I'm going to let them know.
And well, actually, yeah.
Fatan, first of all, besides being an extremely talented guitar player, has came to New York as a immigrant, basically, and collab yes. with names such as Missy Elliott, Mark Anthony, Shakira, Mary yes. J. Blige, and a lot more. So I want to start early in your career. You know, before you got to all these collaborations and all that, mm-hmm. your father is also a musician, a pianist, yeah. and he's the one that kind of got you started That's in right. the guitar. So tell me about that early time when you started as a guitar player and just coming from a musical family altogether.
Thank you for having me. You guys really rock, you're really cool. I started actually because my father was a piano player, not professionally, he was just like an amateur. Mm-hmm. My sister was a singer, and so all the time my family was music, and all the time it was instruments in the house.
Yeah.
So my dad wanted me to play guitar instead of the piano because piano was a heavy instrument and to carry, so he really was insistent for me to be a guitar player. So he got me a guitar when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
So I got the guitar at 8. I was not really interested, but I was kind of playing with it and trying to get involved. I started kind of seriously at 10 years old.
Yeah.
I started a classical school in Mitrovica. I was born there.
Yeah.
And Mitrovica is known to be a very musical city because a lot of jazz, a lot of blues is known for Kosovo, one of the music city from Kosovo, right. honestly.
Yeah.
And I started to go to school at 10 years old. Kind of at 12, I turned pro, professional, because yeah. I took it very, very serious, which means that at 12 years old, I was gigging.
So you're already going to places, yeah. performing in front of public,
yes, jamming,
and everything.
Yeah. Yes, in Mitrovica, small locals in Mitrovica, I was gigging and jamming with people, older people, older yeah. musicians. And so I was
already formed the love
yes.
for it. So in the beginning, between like 8 and 10, mm-hmm. was that kind of like a forced thing, like play guitar, and then it kind of became a love after?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Because I love basketball a lot, mm-hmm. I love boxing a lot, and I love soccer. But I loved really basketball. I was into the basketball a lot, so I didn't know what to do. And then I was into the rock music also. So it was confusing years. Even
right,
when I started with 10, I was like confused. What should I do? But at around when I was 12, my teacher played me this record of the legendary jazz guitar player, the best in the world, George Benson.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, something clicked.
Oh,
and
I
was
like, I like the sound. And
yeah,
the
because I used to be what, rock or blues or
yeah.
That. And then the moment I heard that from George Benson and
that's when it was
Pat
jazz
Martino, these two guitar players, Pat Martino and George Benson, I decided to be into
so,
the jazz.
Interestingly enough, you were put into a classical music school
yes.
at that point.
Yes.
So how did that translate from like a guitar to going to classical music and all that at a young age?
I was very lucky because my teacher was a classical guitar teacher, but he was also a jazz guitarist.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of a click. So he saw that I was not so good in classical music.
Mm-hmm.
I was really like, I kind of sucked, but I had to do it because it's part
yeah.
of the, to learn how to read the notes and to
right,
learn
right, right.
all that position. It helped so much. But then,
it helps with the technique,
absolutely.
But you're like not interested in the music at all.
Yeah,
right.
I love it. To this day, I love to listen to it. I love guitar players who do that and other instruments. But then I just fell in love too much with jazz. And
yeah.
he was like, you know what? Here it is. He started to play to me. Jazz guitar player, jazz music, and all that. Even though I already was familiar with jazz because in my house, my dad always played jazz music. We never played any other music, not even Albanian, old Albanian. It was just jazz. So I was already familiar with the sound.
Yeah. So now, like, you know, everybody is kind of musical in the family. At that time, it was like all family gatherings, just kind of playing music, you know, for holidays, stuff like that. Everybody just kind of having jam sessions.
Just me and my dad, because my mom was totally not into music. Mm-hmm. She was the one who actually sacrificed her time. She was the person who sent me every second day to the school. Mm-hmm. We didn't drive.
Right, right.
She took me. It was winter cold. She took me by hand, sent me to the school. She was the one, not my dad.
Walking you to school every day.
Walking back. She waited for me till I finished. Back.
Wow.
So
wow,
she was so the one, yeah.
Big sacrifice.
Oh my God. And we are four kids. I have three sisters, old, I'm the youngest one. So she had to leave my sisters at home
It
was kind of a big sacrifice, but she kind of saw that I really love it, and so she really focused on that, yeah.
And I mean, that all kind of worked out for you, because really when you were young, I mean 15, 16 years old, you got a call, you went to Vienna basically to
Graz.
To Graz to audition for a school there.
Yes, because the time
musical school. Yeah.
Yes, my brother-in-law is Enis Presheva, the composer, a former music producer, and he was there before me. Mm-hmm. He was there for studying for arrangement and all that, but at the same time Kosovo was going to the war,
right?
So
my
dad was already working in a
Mitrovica kind of hit there, like, so
yes,
earlier.
Yes, absolutely. So my dad was smelling that war is coming, and the Serbs were picking up the younger men, boys. So at the same time, we were talking with Enis, and Enis was like, you know what, I can try to register you there to Graz if you want this and this and that. I said, yeah. My dad said, yeah. So I was already 15 and a half, very young.
And it wasn't like, you got the letter and you got into the school. You had to audition there.
Absolutely.
There was like 50 applicants.
Absolutely.
Think,
so there was
only a few, right?
Oh yeah, it was amazing, because I went there. It was October, something like that, September, October. I went there. There were like 48, 50 from all over the world.
Yeah.
And every age, like, it was like, I was 15 and a half.
Yeah.
I was the youngest one, literally. I have so much fear. I was so stressed out because I was shaking to put the cable on the damn amplifier.
Yeah,
for real. So, but after the whole thing was finished, the professor, teacher came. He said only three people got in. So he just mentioned my name. He mentioned two other guys' name and my name, the last. I didn't understand very well because I was too
really
loud.
Understand the German either that much.
German, but then my boy who I stayed at that time, because he waited for me in Graz till I was sleeping in his crib till I found, he screamed, "Yo, you got into the..." So anyway, from then on,
big celebration. That
oh my God, my dad. Now it's
Vienna.
This is like legit. This was like serious. Now this is no joke. This is the best jazz school in Europe.
This was specifically a jazz school. It wasn't just a music school.
No, this was specifically jazz school.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was the best in Europe. So and I was like, I didn't really realize how big that was.
Right.
My dad, I was so happy, and everybody around him was happy. I was happy too, but I didn't know how big that was. Till after a few months, 6 months, I was like, okay, this is something different level. So
So tell me, like, now when you're there, obviously in a whole new environment, you barely know the language at this point. You're learning everything through music. Like, what exactly did that school like teach you that you didn't know already? Like, what were some things that you learned that really were like, oh wow, you know what I mean? It brought me to a whole new level as a musician.
They taught me discipline first. Discipline was the first thing, because we are known to a little bit to be lazy, laid back, like, you know what, later and all that. No, discipline was that first thing. The second of all was like in Mitrovica, my teacher was great, but he was limited.
Right.
He was limited in some knowledge and all that deeper. And when my teacher actually was from California, Wayne Brassell, he was an amazing teacher, and he taught me how to read faster, to learn how to read faster, how to improvise, how to new techniques on how to use this and how to use that. So it was really important for me that. So that was a different level for me of teaching what they did in Graz.
Yeah. So now, when you finished school in Vienna, you came back to Kosovo. What was like the first thing that you wanted to do when you come back now? You know what I mean? Now you got all this knowledge, you know, you really learned a lot more. You became a much better musician altogether.
Yes.
So what was your goal immediately coming out of school?
After Graz, yeah. I went throughout the city, Switzerland and Holland. I went to perform and all that. I was gigging. So, but then I wanted to try a little bit Kosovo, and I went back to Kosovo to see, because I'm still I'm Albanian. We are in the end of the day, we are very.
We love our roots,
no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen. So I went there, and right when the war was finished, and it was amazing because it was fresh for Kosovo. The whatever I was playing, I pick up the great musicians from there to play on my band. So I combined the jazz with some really other music, but a little bit Albanian, but some funk and all that.
Yeah.
So it was for Albanians after the war. It was fresh there. It was crowded.
Yeah,
everybody.
And before the war, I feel like we had more of a one type of music kind of making its way.
Yes.
And then right after,
yes,
even hip hop wasn't really popular.
No.
Only started coming after. You know?
Absolutely. So. And they were coming. Like every time I was making the gigs, concert, the line was like huge. Like, and the TVs was all over me. And so for some reason, I got so much attention. I was like surprised. Like, wow, like, okay, I get it, but damn. So, like, and at the same time, I had recorded one song called Telat. I recorded in Switzerland.
Right. And that was the one where you basically put the traditional instrument chifteri in like a jazz, funky type of mood.
Yes.
Which is like something new at the time, because before
absolutely.
You're only playing really old school, people wearing this clothes
absolutely.
Playing chifteri, basically.
Which is great.
Of course.
But never combined with jazz guitar, never. So I combined a little bit, the rhythm was like more funky, jazz guitar and chifteri. So I already recorded that in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I never played it, so I played it that time to Anise Presheva. Anise was like, yo, bro, this is a hit. I said, nah, really? He said, nah, this is not, that's it. So we gave to some radios there, Kosovo, Peja, and all that went crazy. And then Fatos Beresha, who is now in the movies, and he was like, he was in Koa Vision at the time. He said, let's do the video. And so we did the video, and the song became number one for like 3-4 months, nonstop.
Wow.
It was crazy.
And Tela, that was also part of your second album, basically. So
first. Second. You're right. Second. First was the jazz one in Austria.
So now what would you say is the difference between that first album and the second? Because in the second album also, you had a lot of Albanian artists that were featuring. I think your sister sang in the song.
Combination.
So but what would you say was the difference between the two, and what was like the motivation to switch it up a little bit on that second album?
The first album was literally, I was 17 and a half, and it was jazz albums. Straight up jazz. With double bass, saxophone, piano, guitar. It was straight up jazz. This one was commercial, a little bit more, much more. So it was, I had Eliza Hoja, I had a lot of artists back then who were top.
Very popular back
then. Popular there.
Some and even still now.
Still now. So it was really good, but still, even with the other song that I featured artists, the Taylor, which
Taylor,
was instrumental.
Yeah.
It was like
it
amazing.
Blew up more than anything else.
I was like, wow, okay, but yeah, I was happy without that.
So now when you were touring around in Europe before you came back to Kosovo, you met basically your mentor, that's still your mentor today, Mark Whitfield, who's also a jazz guitar player. And at that time, when you met him, he was kind of like, you were like a fan of his.
Big fan.
So meeting someone like that, you're like, oh, wow, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So tell me about that first interaction, meeting him, because you guys had a good personal relationship. I think you exchanged emails.
That's right.
Because that's, you know, no cell phones back then. But you exchanged emails and stayed in contact even when you moved back to Kosovo. So tell me how that first connection happened, and then how you guys kept in contact.
That's pretty much what it is. I was in Austria and in Graz and all that, but I heard that he's coming to perform in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
Vienna from Graz is like 2 hours with the train. So I took the train to go to see him. After the show, I gave him my first album before he came out. I came to him to listen.
Oh, okay.
So he heard the album. He looked at me and was like, how old are you? And I tell him, I said, and he saw so much, I have so much from him.
So much
influence from him. Like, and he said, listen, man, we talked about school and all that. I said, I think this is great for you, the school and everything, but you need to come to New York. So New York is for you. I said, I didn't understand what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
But then he kind of, you have to, I got you, you know, when
right,
I didn't understand the word, I got you, but he was like, I got you.
Yeah.
So just
just come to New York.
Yeah, I got you.
And now, like, initially, you probably didn't take that serious. You're like, all right, you know.
Exactly, absolutely not. I know, because this is the guy, the superstar in jazz scene, on his prime.
Right.
And he wrote me his email. I wrote my email. Like you said, there was no cell phone, no.
So now you're keeping in touch. You're back in Kosovo. You make Taylor, whatever.
Absolutely.
And then what convinced you to finally make the jump and take the risk to come here?
No, the first email I got from him, I was already in Graz.
Okay. Yeah.
After a few months, but then that was the first to be in touch with him. So then after like a year, when I went back to Kosovo, I got the second email, and then that's the second email was the official. Like, he really wants me to go there.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I'm gonna do what I'm gonna do, my mission here in Kosovo, which is what only 2 years. It was crazy because for 2 years I was literally every day or on TV or on tour or something. Yeah. I was so happy because it was amazing. But musically, I started to feel myself, I were really going down.
Kind of like stagnating in a sense.
Yes, because I was giving so much, but I was going back because I was not receiving too much.
Right.
And because I just came from the most high discipline school in the world, in Europe, to be on time, to rehearsal. Because so I didn't want to rehearsal. Yeah. Come on, bro. Let's come macchiato. Like, I was like, bro. But then
we know already, we are good.
So, no, bro, we need to. So I was like, I saw myself like I was getting pissed off because I was like, man, it's cool, but
I need to like improve. It's not about strive that it's not, you want to strive to
right.
keep improving.
It's not all about being in TV or radio. I fell in love with because I need to practice. I need to get better.
So let's touch a little bit more on that mentality of like, because obviously, you know, a lot of people would stop there because, you know, you're hitting everywhere.
Yes.
You're going on a show. You're on show. You're on tour every day, on TV every day.
You're comfortable. You get
exactly.
comfortable.
Yeah,
payment you're
comfortable.
Comfortable.
So tell me about that mentality of like, instead of just being comfortable and being happy with all that success, you're like, I need to improve musically. You know what I mean? It's not even just about like more notoriety. You're thinking like, technically, I need to just be a better musician. So
very good. The big effect of Graz, that it got me in a young age the discipline. So that I think because the Graz got me really trained me so that well, that was a decision because of that. If I wouldn't be in Graz, would be in Graz only 1 or 2 years, probably I would say like, you know, I'm cool here, I'm earning good money, all of that. But
that discipline,
that early discipline was something else.
Changed your life basically.
I didn't even think twice. I was like, you know what, I'm ready, let's go. So
I mean, even today I noticed, you know, some of your YouTube videos, you're trying different types of guitars. I don't really know the difference.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But you know, more strings and whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, so I'm like, you know, the guy's still doing new things, still trying to do new things, still trying
He's
to learn
never
more.
Ends. Yeah. It never art. Period. Art, painting or music, whatever it is, it never ends. Music, when people say no matter how great you are, how diplomas you have, music never ends, bro. There's always new. There's always something new, man.
Always something to improve
what?
On. Always something to improve
always,
on.
Always.
It's amazing. So now, you know, later on, you come to New York. Mark is basically making connections with you. You're working with some huge artists in connections with him, in collaborations with him as well.
Yeah.
So what was the moment when you're here now and you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm in this room right now? What was like a wow moment for you?
First I came into Chicago. I arrived in Chicago, then I came to New York, and I stayed with Mark at his place and all that. For me, that was unreal to stay with somebody at the house that I looked up so much to, and him
to open the doors.
What?
Like,
his mom to cook me a meal. I remember when I always tell this to people, like, one of the most touching moments in my life was that when I was alone here. I had only one cousin, but I was alone. I didn't have nobody. So he knew that my birthday is January 1st. I remember that time. It was like I was alone, and it was the January and all that. I got a phone call from Mark. He said, because that time already I had my own place. But I said, yo, come to my place, because come to Jersey. I'll pick you up at the subway, the train station, wherever. So I went there, and his mom made the cake for me for birthday.
With
dinner, and he had his son there. So he let me feel like you have a family
you're
here.
You're part of the family.
Family
right.
part. So for me, it was that
alone was just unreal for you.
For somebody to look up to, it was amazing.
Your mentor is
now I become like a big brother.
Trying to learn from.
Yes.
You know? And now you're learning in person.
Yeah, like become very personal, like, and become like a big brother. And so since then, he saw where I'm standing, that I'm see that how hungry I am. He just gave me a lot of his gigs that he, because he was very busy.
Right.
So those that were, I guess, more or less important to him,
yeah,
but still extremely important to me,
right,
he was given to me,
right,
and he was taken. So for me, it was like, oh, what the hell?
So, I mean, having someone like that kind of assist you through the way, I'm sure is like night and day. Of course, you know, musically, obviously, you're an extreme talent, but having someone like that kind of back you up and put you in some certain
places.
It
means a lot. And you know how it is in America. When you have somebody like that to back you up,
right,
it's very
big. Of course, especially in New York, where the competition is insane.
Oh,
you know?
It's crazy. You know? So, but somebody like that who has a high reputation says, this is my dude, this is my guy.
Yeah.
He got it.
And then obviously you took full advantage, you know what I mean? Now you're trying to show off. I'll show you, kind of thing.
I'll show you. But we Albanians, we are very, very talented people. Yeah, we are lazy to work, to put work on it.
Yeah.
But once, if we get into it, bro,
That's it. Takes off.
Whatever it
right.
is, music and business and everything, what it is. Like
nowadays, judo from Kosovo. Shout out to the judo Olympics
Yo,
team.
Yo, bro. Yes, bro.
Two gold medals.
Tony,
come
bro.
On.
Tony Kuka, bro. That's what's up, bro.
I told myself if I have a kid, I'm just going to give him to Tony. Like, give it back to me with a gold medal.
Hey, I'm pretty sure he's going to make it, like, the gold medal for sure, bro. That guy is like a monster, bro.
So now you're living in America for a little bit, you know what I mean? You're here, you start like kind of forming your connections here, you even started building a family here, and you made another album around like 2010 and named it, I'm not sure if your daughter was born yet, but named it after your daughter, Iman.
Yes.
So tell me about that inspiration.
Yes,
that
it was born.
About.
Yeah, it was born, and I'm a Muslim and
right,
I'm a practicing Muslim at that time, and I started and all that. Iman means faith.
Right.
So, and I love the name. It was kind of short. My mom kind of chose that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I'm going to name it. So that was a big influence and motivation for me to make the album. And yes, yeah.
For your daughter. So basically it was for your daughter. Yeah.
Yes. And there's a song called Iman in a song sing by the amazing, is a known singer, Kofi Black.
Oh, yeah. So, he's from New York too, actually. Yeah.
Staten Island.
Yeah.
And so.
So like what, throughout the years, what would you say has changed for you musically between the albums? Like, how do you think you've personally improved between those?
Honestly, the experience that I'm playing with a musician who are better than you, older than you, legends, that was my advice from Mark Whittle. Always told me, like, play with somebody always there who is better than you. Don't play, if you want to get better, you have to play somebody
right.
who's better than you, or at least like you. Don't play with somebody who's less than you, because you're not gonna.
That might boost your ego, but it's not gonna boost your talent.
Absolutely, that's exactly what it is. So I was like, oh, okay, so that helped me a lot, but I'm still in process of learning. Like I said, this never ends. Every time I've been playing almost sometime every day and all of this, but I'm almost amazed with how much is there to learn, man. It's just literally, and to this day, every day I practice. And every day when I practice, I'm like, oh, it's every day. No
it's
matter
new things, learning new things, grasping
it's
new
things. Always something. And I'm always excited like a kid when I get to something new.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Like, yeah.
And so why do you think you took such long breaks between like different albums and whatever?
Because I'm very anal when it comes to these kind of things. Very, I'm very, very.
Always second guessing yourself, trying to.
Oh my God. I have so many songs. You have no idea. I have songs by now that I could put easily three albums.
Yeah.
But because I could do better. Always that I could do better. Most of musicians who listen to me this, they know what I mean. Because, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and also, I'm sure, like, you know, you make a song, maybe a month or two later, you learn something new, and you're I got to implement this on that song.
Exactly. And that too. That's another thing that you're like, and that's wrong. Because I think I should just record it if I'm really kind of feeling a little
bit
happy.
It is for the moment.
Yes.
It is for the moment.
It is for the moment. But unfortunately.
That new thing that you learn should be for the
next
thing.
Unfortunately,
you know,
it didn't work for me. But now I think I matured in that way, a different way.
Yeah.
I matured. So now I'm really serious with songs and albums. I think between next year, by the end of next year, I'm going to have for sure one album done.
Yeah.
And a few projects, yeah.
Out of all the big names that you've collabed with, who would you say that you were kind of, besides Mark, that you were like a fan of, and when you collab with them, you were kind of like more like impressed with yourself?
Mark Anthony. Mm. And frequently, like lately with Miguel.
Yeah.
For me, that was amazing. But Mark was, for me, the first celebrity, like, huge celebrity that, like, I was like, whoa, this guy's totally cool, like, down to earth.
Right.
Nothing like to be like, I'm somebody, like, and surprisingly, it was Latin Grammy Awards in Miami. I used to live in Miami for like 7-8 months. Mm-hmm. So Shakira used his band. So that's why I end up playing with her too. Not because something she invited me special or something. No.
Yeah. Oh, so you were part of the band at that moment.
Yeah. So they used him. Yeah, it was awesome. But for her also was like, oh yeah, I like, can you show me this? These people, I was like, wow, this is superstar level. And that Shakira at the time was prime Shakira.
Right.
Prime. Even though they're always still like, super famous.
Yeah.
But to come to stay with you, can you show me that
and
chord?
They're still trying to learn.
Wow,
you know,
like, what? Like, I was
that
like,
probably opens your eyes even more. Like,
that may be
they're already at the top. They really don't need to do anything different, and they're still striving to improve.
And also, I learned so much from these big names, that humility.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, when I see some people famous and that big ego and all that, I cannot, unless you pay me a lot of money, I don't work with you, bro.
Right.
So when I learned from them that, like, to be cool, bro, it's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just be
if somebody is respectful and you're a musician, be cool. But of course, sometimes some fans are disrespectful, that's a different story. But if you're cool and all that, I learned that from all of them, from a little bit, from no matter how big name you are, you have to be
right. You still have to be human. You still have to be personable.
Absolutely,
and, you know,
absolutely.
Kind of.
Yeah. That helped me a lot to learn from each of them.
Yeah. Now you were working on a new album with a lot of different collabs, especially with Albanian and American collaborations together, and the pandemic kind of got in your way.
Yes.
So now, knowing that you second guess yourself and you're going back, when is that album coming? Are you still in the works with it? What's the deal with it at this moment?
With 90-something% artists from Kosovo and Albania, especially Kosovo, who are known, I'm very close with them.
Yeah.
And then I'm not gonna mention names because some of them are gonna be guests on my albums, and this is gonna be amazing. But like I said, pandemic hit. Honestly, pandemic for me worked really good because I never worked more than the time of pandemic. That's why now I'm sure that next year is going to be released, because I worked really hard through pandemic. But for them, it didn't work so well. So it was kind of a struggle for me to...
Yeah, to get the pieces that you needed.
Yeah, to have to record there, and they couldn't record it and all that. But for me to work on arrangement and guitar parts, and to call the bass player, to send the bass, and all this kind of thing.
Yeah. So you kind of did your part, because you're producing that album too.
Yes, absolutely. Everything, yes. So that worked for me great. And now that I'm pretty sure next year is going to be done. And a few of videos going to be done of that too, and some
So are you gonna, do you have songs there that are like kind of a cross between with Albanian and American artists in the same record,
yes,
the same tracks,
and hip-hop, R&B, jazz, all combined? Mostly going to be like between hip-hop and R&B and pop. It's going to be hardcore, I'm telling you. Like, there's some hip-hop artists from Albania and Kosovo. Yeah. It's going to be crazy.
So now let's go back a little bit. Now you're clearly used to traveling and, you know, being in different places without your family and all that, you know, kind of being adjusted to different situations by yourself. So what was that transition coming to America now for the first time? You know, I know when I came here, it was, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to walk down the street and see Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean? So it's like, so when you first came here, what was like your expectation, and were you like shocked a little bit at how different it was?
In a way, yes, you're right, because it was not like in the movies.
Right.
You expect to be like, you're going to live in Manhattan.
Right, exactly.
Nope. Go to Brooklyn downtown somewhere, all the way, Bushwick somewhere, like, yeah. Or go to Bronx, or like, those were
far away from Manhattan as you possibly can.
Bro, take the 3 buses, 2 trains,
to see one building.
Bro, so it was not like that. I was like, it's not like that. I cannot live in a Fifth Avenue. I cannot live in West Village. What do you mean I cannot live in a West Village, bro? But no, yes, you can.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. So that for me was a little bit like, So then when I got into the, I lived in Brooklyn and Queens and all over, but somehow I got adapted to because I played all the time in the city. Yeah. So I stayed with my guitar all the time in the city.
Ready to go,
so kinda. Somehow I just slept in Brooklyn or wherever I was living. So
yeah. Yeah, but the moment you got up, it was like work, going to some
work,
place,
the session, here, like that. But yeah, I was disappointed in that part. I was like, I think it's gonna be, I'm gonna live like in a movie.
All right, chill in the penthouse.
Absolutely, yeah. Like
go
you
outside,
see,
absolutely. In front of Empire
yeah,
State
look at the balcony there with the New York. Like, yeah, okay. Look at the balcony in the Bronx, Albanians there. <Yeah. laughs>
To be coffee.
To be coffee, bro. Yeah, like, cigar out there. So yeah. But other than that, man, I can't complain. I love New York. No, honestly, I was in LA. I went Miami. I was all these kind of places. I love the weather in LA, though. I really do. But New York is special to me. There's something about New York, man. The energy. Right. Something about it, bro.
Yeah.
And for jazz, forget about it. This is it.
Yeah. But with all the legendary kind of venues and all that, even in Harlem.
You can go now, right now. I can go take my guitar and go play with stars of jazz from the jazz scene, which are colleagues of me now, but you can never do that in other cities. You can never do that. That's why New York is New York. Yeah. But it just also the energy is just really cool. I like it.
And it kind of forces you kind of to work harder.
Right.
It really does.
That's not,
everybody's
that's right.
constantly moving.
So. Yeah, you know it because you're from here too. So it just like you said, it motivates you. Every time you feel down a little bit, you go somewhere.
You see people moving. You're like, I gotta start moving. Like,
yes.
Stop bitching and keep going. You're like,
bro,
too
short. Life is too short. It makes you think like, yo, wake up. So,
But basically, I mean, in the sense of being a musician, you're living the dream. Music has brought you everywhere around the world. Music has brought you to big collaborations. And you're living off of music in a sense. So, So tell me a little bit about that and kind of like, do you ever get a chance to sit back and enjoy your accomplishments without thinking about what am I doing next?
Honestly, the accomplishment, honestly, I don't think about that. I just like to move forward. I don't think like, oh, I did that because I don't like to touch my ego. I don't want think I'm afraid.
Yeah.
But many do that, though. Many do that. They sit back and they're like, no.
Look what
because
I did.
I'm still...
But I don't even mean it in that sense. It's more of in the sense of kind of like... just being proud of yourself, not so
even
much
that,
of like because curbing your ego, but more of like, oh, I'm so proud of where I got to. I got to keep going. But like
the only thing what got me, what made me kind of happy in a way was when Mark Whitfield, not too long ago, a few months ago, we were talking on the phone about basketball because he's also basketball freak. We started talking about music. He said, "Do you know that you motivate me?" He tells me. I said, "What? What do you mean? What do you mean, bro?" Said, I was talking with my wife. He's talking about his wife.
Yeah.
He said, and I mentioned you. I said, this is the guy, an immigrant, came here in the beginning, no papers, no this and all that. And now you accomplish, you never work anything else except music. You come, you play our music, black music in America with all this competition, all that. You live okay with only playing guitar.
Yeah. Right.
That's something for you. You motivate me. I never thought about that. That's coming to your point. Like that was a moment I was like, not proud. I was like, wow, I never thought about that for real. Like, I never in my life worked anything else. Which is nothing wrong to work. Because
right,
when
course.
You do work,
I mean, you need to also invest in yourself, obviously.
So. Bro, waiter, whatever you do, that's work. I respect every work is a work, bro. You're earning honest money and all that. Bro. I'm not. But for me, I never did anything else because I don't know what to do anything else.
Right.
I never had an option to think like, oh, if I cannot do, I never had that.
Yeah.
If I cannot do guitar, what I'm gonna do? I never thought about it like that.
Right.
Always thought this is my only thing, because if I don't do this, I'm gonna starve.
Yeah.
Or now my kids will not be eat. All
right.
That.
Right.
So when he said that, I was like, wow. I said, I never thought about this for real. Like, and it kind of made me feel good because. So that's something I never thought about, but he made it clear to my head. I was like, that's true, because honestly, I came to play this play music, this black jazz is black music, hip hop is, and I'm playing with all these names as an immigrant from Kosovo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
In the beginning, no papers, then of course, whatever, but then all of this.
Coming into their culture and
get
then
the culture,
really,
bro, and,
you know,
get
and
the job
living in it.
And doing, and plus on top of that, they give you the props and credit and they accept you in the that community, black community, like you're one of them. Like, and I never thought about it till he mentioned it. I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing something right.
Right.
Yeah, something.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Because...
I mean, you know, even myself, because I deal with a lot of musicians, especially up-and-comers, just talent, and it's always, you know, just to live that full-time is something that gets great for a lot of young artists, you know what I mean? It's just to be able to... Not even to like be A-list, millionaire, whatever. It's just to be able to live your life full time around music is a big accomplishment for a lot
of
people.
Absolutely, because I never thought this as to be rich.
Right.
When I started this, when I fell in love with jazz or guitar, I never thought, oh, I'm going to do this because I want to be rich. Because that was not. To this day, I will never think that if it happens for the things, yes. I have nothing against it.
Of course, you'll accept it.
Of course, but that's not my goal. My goal is just to make good music,
to be better,
to practice, to get better and better and better and better and better. So that's my whole thing, bro.
So now, you know, you talk about the new album coming next year. What else should we be expecting?
Hopefully, inshallah, next year. I'm really giving my best.
What else should we be expecting from you coming up soon, you know, musically?
Musically, we just finished a video and a recording with Mira Konci, is a very famous Albanian singer, and we did an amazing song, an old song from Gjurmët called Era.
Okay.
So we did our version
with your twist, obviously.
Oh, we twisted so much, it came so good. And the video, we just finished today, the editing and edit. So
nice, congrats.
Thank you. Yeah. So it's gonna be out probably in 10 days or 2 weeks maximum, all over TVs in Kosovo and Albania and all that.
Nice.
So that's with her. We also finishing album with her. We have a duet album with all the Albanian songs twisted in our version.
That's amazing.
Because
even when I heard you performing live, which kind of you had no audition for that too in the Kosovo consulate.
Oh, that was
there was no audition. You kind of winged it, but the twist you did on all those songs,
and that
was
in Kosovo that we did. It was. I never met that singer in my life.
Yeah.
That was last night.
Moment.
And we never practiced nothing. I said to her, I'm not going to play those songs how they are. I have to do it my way or no. She said, no, do your thing. So I twisted, of course, and kind of they came okay. But this one with Mira, we sat down.
We
really sat down and we're like, how about this? How about this? And Mira is amazing. And we just, the whole thing came out amazing. Amazing. I cannot wait you guys to hear it, honestly.
So, ladies and gentlemen, that is Faton Mansula, legendary guitar player, immigrant from Kosovo.
That's
now
right.
Over here, you know, the government can't get him now because he's got his papers now. So forget what he just said earlier.
That's right. So, we're talking about back 20 years ago.
Yeah. So tell everybody, first of all, where they can check out your music, follow your career so they can be in tune with whatever.
Yes, please. Yes. Instagram
out.
At Faton Mansula.
MACULA.
FATONMACULA all together.
Yes.
And Facebook, same Faton Mansula, music page, and fatonmansula.com. Yeah. My website.
Check his website. Google him. He's very Googleable.
Googleable.
Thanks for coming on
my
the show.
My man,
Fata.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
I'm excited to hear you
man,
play. And anytime you
guys
have a live
rock. I appreciate it.
You let me know. We'll come out.
You already know. You already know, my man.
For sure.
Thank
Don't
you.
Forget to follow us, subscribe to the channel, give us 5 stars on all your favorite platforms, and check out Fatan when his new album comes out.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, bro.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.